Judges chapter 14, verse 1. Samson, we saw last in chapter 13 how he was born, and that he was the product of, you know, a miraculous provision by the Lord for his parents who could not have children. And so Samson was brought to them, and he was to be a Nazarite. And a Nazarite is a man who is, or a woman, who is dedicated to the Lord, separated to the Lord. Usually, a Nazarite was for a certain period of time. A person would take a Nazarite vow, like for a certain length of time, and then they would be out of the vow. Samson was for all his life to be a Nazarite. There's some question, we don't know, but as far as we know from Scripture, he didn't partake of strong drink, and his hair was long. Two of the three Nazarite requirements, the other being you can't touch a dead body. He killed so many people that you wonder how he did with the other one. But those are the three requirements of a Nazarite, that they were not to drink wine or strong drink, that their hair was to be left uncut, and that they could not touch a dead body. So Samson, in chapter 13, he just coming into the world. And we're told in verse 25 that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. So he was a Nazarite to be dedicated to a purpose God had for him, which was for the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. But it's different in a number of ways, and I want to get into that some tonight. Verse 1 of Judges 14. It says, then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. However, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. Then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. When he returned later to take her, he turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. So he scraped the honey into his hands and went on, eating as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion. Then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for the young men customarily did this. When they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, let me now propound a riddle to you. If you will indeed tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. And they said to him, propound your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet, but they could not tell the riddle in 3 days. It came out on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle, or we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so? Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me, and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me. And he said to her, behold, I have not told it to my father or mother. So should I tell you? However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him so hard. She then told the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of Samson and the things that you do with him, which are marvelous and certainly wise. A lot for us to see and learn. We need your power, Lord. Anytime the Holy Spirit would move in our midst, although it won't likely be with such physical power, Lord, we welcome the Spirit's work. We need the Spirit's work to save and to empower us for your service and to be fruitful in it, to accomplish your will, Lord, and bring your pleasure, which is really what we're here for and supposed to do. Pray you bless our contemplations of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To be fair for Samson, we're not told a whole lot about his life. We pick him up after his childhood. He's now marrying age. And there are certain things we will deduce about him, and we'll note that as we go through. And not everything is what we would expect from a judge or from a godly man. However, Samson makes it in the Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith. I think there's more to Samson than we see on the surface, because he is a man who accomplishes the will of God. He is a man of faith, and he does have a very particular thing about him that stands out, his great strength and the fact that he's a Nazarite. And in this case, it is the Philistines who are the ones who are oppressing Israel. As we saw in Joshua and the early part of Judges, Israel did not clear out the land like they were supposed to. So you always have these people around, and they end up causing trouble for Israel. The difference with Samson, if you remember back with the other judges, what would happen is that the people would sin, and then God would send upon them an oppressor. The oppressor was oppressing on their own will, but God was using them to punish his people. And then once the oppression got to be too much, the people would call out to the Lord to save them. And the Lord would send a judge. And the judge would gather an army. Sometimes with Gideon, it turned out to be only 300 men, but there were others around. And so the judge would come and rally the people of Israel. God would use Israel, and they would defeat the oppressor, And then they would stay true to the Lord, at least outwardly, for a period of time, the life of the judge generally. And then after a time, they would go back to the way they were. So this is the typical thing you see with a judge. Samson is different. Samson does not raise an army. Samson was an army all by himself. The Lord chose to deliver Israel not through a bunch of the children of Israel coming together and fighting, but by one man. Samson, a single individual, was the means by which God chose to deliver them from the Philistines. And we're not told about the specific failures that they have in obedience, but the Philistines were ruling over Israel. It seems to have been, in a number of cases, not as oppressive, but we don't know. It was a nation that God wanted to remove from Israel and to get Israel out from under. So Samson was brought up. One commentator said his leading purpose seems to have been to baffle the power of the whole Philistine nation by the prowess of a single individual. You would not expect one person to be able to overthrow an entire nation. So Samson wasn't the leader of the army. He was the army. He was entirely the force, the one that would deliver Israel from the Philistines, showing the Philistines and us, as we learn of it, that he doesn't need an army. God can save by many or by few, by one. He uses people. He calls his church. He gifts us for service, but he does not need us. We need him. And his use of us, even in the case of Samson, was not based upon Samson's high moral standing in every case. The Lord accomplished his will as he chose to accomplish it, and through Samson. So another purpose we see in this was that by using one person, Samson was drawing all the attention of the Philistines to himself and not to Israel. They were probably, in most cases, when you stir up an oppressive nation, an occupying force, it breaks out against everybody. In this particular case, Samson became the lightning rod. Samson was the one man, and it was their problem with him that they focused on, so that the others were pretty much left to themselves. So the Lord was showing his power in one man. Now, Samson's power is attributed to the Holy Spirit. He may have been stronger than normal people. I believe he probably was a big, strong-looking man. Just his physical appearance. But his strength did not come from that. His strength was beyond that. He could not do with his physical body by himself what the Holy Spirit did. When the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, that's when he was greatly powerful. I mean, beyond the strength of many, many men. So when we come into this particular chapter, we're setting up for what the Lord is doing and what Samson is plotting to do to gain victory over the Philistines. We're told in verse 1, Samson went down to Timnah, it's not too far off from where he was born, and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he goes and finds a Philistine woman he likes and wants to marry. And he goes and tells his father and mother, which is traditional. I found a woman and, you know, arranged the marriage. So he says, I found a daughter of the Philistines. Go get her for me as a wife. I mean, that's the crass way to put it. I don't know that he was making demands upon his parents. He was appealing to them. He was telling them he found a wife. You know, this is the one. Go arrange that. So his father and mother had a problem with that because although it wasn't explicitly forbidden in the law, it was, the spirit was kind of a, you know, don't marry outside of your family of Israel. And we see that is pretty much the standard Israel was to follow. But they said, why don't you find a wife among the Jews? Why do you have to go down to an uncircumcised Philistine to be the wife of a Philistine woman? Because they were ruling over Israel. But we see that there was something they didn't know. Verse 4, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. For he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. So, cutting all the way to the end of the Lord's purposes, this was so that he would have an occasion to launch this battle the Lord had designed for Samson to be the center of upon the Philistines. Samson, as far as we know at this time, was moved by natural things. He saw a pretty woman. But I believe, and others I think believe, that he was a little bit more aware of what he was doing. The Lord was leading him, but I believe Samson was aware of the fact that his mission was to fight the Philistines, and that this would be a way to do that and accomplish the things that God has done by choosing one man Samson, and keeping the attention off of the rest of Israel. So this was his way. So they go down to Timnah, verse 5, and this was, again, by custom that you go and you arrange the marriage. This was in the East, you know, it's what you did. You came to, like Jesus did, you came and you get your bride, you talk to the bride, you arrange the marriage, which our Lord did, you know, coming to earth and dying for our sins. And then he said, I go and prepare a place for you. So he went back to heaven to prepare a place. That's what the groom would do. The groom would come, arrange for the wife, and then go back and prepare a place, and then come and get her. So this is the first part, in the first part of the meeting with the woman and her family. So they move in that direction, and they get as far as the vineyards of Timnah, which Timnah is where she lived, and a young lion came roaring toward him. It's clear from the text that his parents were not with him when this happened. Samson went into the vineyards to get stuff in the vineyards, you know, grapes in the vineyards, whatever. And a young lion, which doesn't mean a cub, but it means a lion in its young, youthful strength, came roaring toward him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. He had, just like paper, apparently, he just tore the lion up. The lion's a king of beasts. And he just killed it. But he didn't tell his father and mother. This is what makes people think that he knew what he was doing. He didn't want this great strength to get out so that the Philistines would be on guard against it or see through the plan. He didn't tell his father and mother about it. And so the Philistines were not knowledgeable about it. You know, it's easy. You tell someone and before long the world knows, as you'll find out later. But God's plan was to focus on Samson. And so they didn't know about his great strength. They didn't put their guard up. And so Samson didn't say anything about it. He didn't boast about it. It did make an impression upon him. It's possible, I think, that Samson was not aware of what he was capable of early on. This kind of thing was not because he was a strong man, but because the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he could not summon it up by his own will. It was brought on by the Spirit of God. So when the lion came at Samson, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he had all this great strength. Not because of the hair, that was the sign of his vow, which was important. And later on, when his hair goes short, he loses that. But it was the Spirit of God. And he was certainly impressed by it. Well, they go down to Timnah, and they talk to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. I think that's more than she was pretty. I believe this means he was already seen her and thought she looked good. I think this means more that she would fit in with the plan he had, which the Lord's plan through him, and in his mind, what he was doing and how the Lord would use him. So verse 8 then says, when he returned to take her. See, that's that custom. You go, you talk to her, she'll work out. You go back, get ready, and then come take her. So on the way back, verse 8, he turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion. It'd have to be months now, because in the lion, it was dry bones now, and a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. Of course, he turned aside because this was an amazing display of his strength. And he went and looked. He hadn't told anybody about it, but he went to look himself again. So he scraped the honey into his hands and went on, eating as he went. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them and they ate it, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion. Most people wouldn't want to know that. So he didn't tell them. The word for scraped, you could say in Hebrew, he took the honey, but it's more than, this word is more than taking. It's that you had to make some effort. I believe there were two reasons he had to make an effort. Scraping the honey meant he had to go in there and get it out. The other was because the bees were there. So he had to deal with that. But he got the honey. And this now is so in his mind. Remember the riddle. This is so in his mind. He looks at it on the way back. The carcass is all dried. It's hollowed out. The honey bees are there. And they've made a bunch of honey there. He gets the honey, gives it to his father and mother, doesn't tell them, and he's going down to take his wife. So they go down, verse 10. His father went down to the woman, his mother too, and they made a feast. Samson made a feast. This will be the wedding feast. This is, it says in the text that men customarily did this. A wedding feast was just a celebration of the wedding. 7 days in this case. The marriage would have happened right away, the union. And then you got 7 days of feasting. So this is what is happening when he goes to take her. And when he looks at the sees the lion and all. And so they go down and make a feast, for the young men customarily did this. This was a rite of passage. This was what people did. And when they saw him, we're told, in verse 11, they being the Philistines, brought 30 companions to be with him. We've heard in other parts of scripture about the friend of the bridegroom, your best man, and your, ushers or, the other men who stand with you, like women have the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. And so these are friends that they chose to be with Samson, 30 men, when they saw him. I think that means that when they saw him, his stature, his physical strength, what would appear to be his physical prowess, they figured they better get extra people to watch him. This would not just be friends. This would be not friendly companions necessarily, but people to keep an eye on him. The Philistines were like any nation occupying another, suspicious of what might happen. They didn't know he had that power. He had not told anybody, but they made like they better take care of that. So when he goes there and he gets his friends, the companions, they're with him. Now, it seemed kind of weird at what happens next. It says in the text, remember, this is a 7-day feast, that Samson in verse 12 says, "Let me now propound a riddle to you." And there's a reward either way. If you tell me the riddle, you figure it out, what's black and white and red all over is a riddle. If you figure it out, you get 30 changes of clothes. If you don't, then I get 30 changes of clothes. So that was entertainment. They didn't have probably a DJ. They didn't have a lot of pyrotechnics stuff going on. Our wedding receptions basically are filling in as the wedding feast. It's not much of a feast comparison to 7 days. This was something that just was ongoing. Samson and his wife beginning their marriage, and then the first 7 days, not off on a honeymoon, they're on the feast time. They're celebrating and then rejoicing, and they're doing whatever, the dancing, eating and drinking and all the stuff that was going on. And they had entertainment. And one customary means of entertainment was this, to give them a mind game, a riddle, to pose a riddle that had some consequences. It was a fun thing, supposedly. It was something that was entertaining. It was something that was keep people's mind engaged. It would make them talk about it, wonder about it. That's what it was about. So he says, they say, okay, tell us, what's the riddle? And so the riddle was, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. There's a play on words here in one sense. It would seem after you know the riddle solution, it seems easy. Out of the eater, a lion, something sweet, honey. But the riddle is that there's a connection between these two. What is the connection between them? Out of the eater came something to eat. And out of the strong came something sweet. The word for strong, Hebrew word, is not just, strong in the sense of physical strength, but sharp, as opposed to bitter, sharp and bitter, or sour and bitter, a sharp taste and a sweet taste. So it would have been understood that way, I think, that these are opposites. Someone who eats is giving something to eat. And out of that comes something sweet, where you would expect something sharp. So that was the riddle. And if they were to figure it out, they would say, well, you obviously have killed a lion, and the lion had honey in it, and you got the honey out of the lion's carcass. So that was the solution, but they couldn't figure that out. And after 3 days, they couldn't figure it out. Verse 14 tells us. So what do you do on a fun wedding feast occasion where the entertainment is to rack your brain a little bit and have a fun riddle to figure out, with some bonus if you can figure it out? What more would you want to do than to threaten the bride and her family if she doesn't find the riddle out and tell them? This is where it takes a really dark turn. Because on the fourth day, verse 15 says they came to Samson's wife and says, entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle, or we will burn you and your father's house with fire. The fun is over now. The fourth day of the feast, 7-day feast, and they're accusing her of bringing him in to impoverish them. It's going to cost them a set of clothes each, a silk shirt or a silk cloak. The prize was like a cloak, an upper garment probably thing, a cloak and a shirt, nice shirt, kind of thing that rich people would wear, noble people would wear. But we would say probably a cloak and a shirt. And it would cost, you know, whatever a cloak and a shirt would cost. It's not necessarily cheap, but, you know, this is dark now because she said, well, it'll burn your house down if you don't find out. And then comes the first we see of a weakness that Samson has. And I think any man would have a hard time with this. They threatened his wife, and so she, verse 16, begins to pressure him to tell her the riddle. You've not told me. And she weeps, this crocodile tears. She's not hurt by it. She wasn't hurt for 3 days. But she's trying to do emotional blackmail on him. She's trying to pressure him with her weeping. It's a hard man that couldn't fall to that. So for the rest of the feast days, to make up the 7, she cried all over him. You don't love me. If you love me, you would tell me. Why do you hate me so much? So finally, he couldn't deal anymore. So we're told, verse 17, however, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. On the 7th day, he told her because she pressed him so hard. So she then went out and dried her tears and told the riddle to the sons of her people. So the time comes then for the riddle to be solved. And so they know the solution now from his wife. So they say, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? That's not the solution. That's probably just, that's just the synopsis of it. It's the summation of it. The connection was the riddle, that the honey was in the carcass of the lion and such. Because you would normally believe the lion was alive and not dead when the way the riddle was posed. So anyway, they told Samson the riddle, which means Samson lost. And he made a very humorous proverb with this, and he was mad. I mean, he got mad and he didn't get unmad for a long time. But he says, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle, his heifer being his wife. So then the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. Again, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, this is when he has his great power. So verse 19 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, which was held by the Philistines, and killed 30 of them, and took their spoil, and gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. He found 30 people who had nice clothes and killed them. Took their clothes, gave them to the 30 friends of his at the wedding feast. And then we're told his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. So he goes to Ashkelon, kills 30 men, takes their cloak and shirt, delivers those 30 changes of garments to the 30 of his companions at the wedding feast. We probably would have to go buy them at, you know, the store. They look down upon this kind of thing in society. But the Spirit of the Lord moved him to this. The Spirit of the Lord was moving the Philistines out of the land. And he was mad when he got back, and he was mad, and he left, and he went to his father's house. He went back home. I don't think it was intended to be permanent, but he was mad at his wife. And honestly, he had good reason. He could also be mad at himself for giving in. But she convinced him that she just wanted him to show her how much he loved her and how special she was. And so he told her. And then she told them, and now he's out 30 changes of clothing. But more accurately, there are 30 men in Ashkelon who are without their lives and their clothes. I don't think he intended for it to be permanent, but verse 20 tells us Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. That's the betrayal he was mad about from his wife. And this is further betrayal. His wife's parents would probably have figured that this was it, that after the events that happened, that the marriage was over. And so they gave her to a friend of Samson's, I guess one of the ones at the feast, maybe. And now she was his wife. So you see what's happened here is that the Philistines are focused on Samuel or on Samson. And Samson has become odious to the Philistines. And Samson is angry. And when the Spirit of God comes upon him, he breaks out in this great strength by which the Lord is delivering Israel from the Philistines. So Samson is in this act at the wedding, drawn the attention of the Philistines to himself, which is in the mind of God and not fully in the mind of Samson, but part of his plan. But the battle is on now. It's not Israel against the Philistines in this case. It's Samson against the Philistines. He's gone and killed 30 of them in Ashkelon. They've had contention at the wedding feast. His wife has been given to another man from, I think, that wedding feast, one of those 30, probably. And anger, distrust, betrayal, everything now is set up for what is about to descend upon the Philistines from the Lord. Really is just the kind of thing the Lord would set up. And Samson is just the man to do something like this, because the Holy Spirit has empowered him with such strength and purpose. Now Samson is angry at the Philistines, and the Philistines are angry at Samson. So we got a perfect storm brewing. Let me unmute you and see if you have any comments. I'll let you unmute yourself.